Peanuts! Get your peanuts! Comedy! Get your comedy-o-rama!
Comedy-O-Rama Theater presents The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes, The Honest and True Memoirs of a Non-Entity, Episode 8, His Second to Last Bow.
I had intended his last bow to be the last of those exploits of my friend Sherlock Holmes which I should ever communicate to the public. This resolution of mine was not due to any lack of material. It was because I was bored. Bored of Holmes and his lame attempts at deductive reasoning. Why then am I about to commit literary suicide and plunge headfirst into yet another murky pool of superficial and meaningless events? I need the money. Oh, yes, I had made a substantial living from the publication of my so-called literary endeavors, but most of that money was to be used, lost, wasted, in fact. Oh, I don't blame Holmes. It wasn't his fault. He had no way of knowing his insignificant actions would be the cause of my financial demise. He was on a case. It had to be solved. Oh, Holmes was merely doing his job. How was I to know that the facts of his case would implicate me, would ruin me forever? Booby. Oh, dear. You'll forgive me, but none of what I just said has the slightest to do with the story I'm about to reveal. No, that was all background on our next adventure. This adventure takes place sometime after Holmes had given up actual professional practice, retired from London, and betaken himself to study and bee farming on the Sussex Downs. Come to think of it, this is when the whole pauperizing chain of events began. Well, at any rate, long before Holmes had his last bow, he had his second-to-last bow. By George, I should change the name of this story to The Pauperization of Dr. Watson. It all began in June of 1923, 1 month after I was released from the Vienna Mental Ward after a short visit for my nerves. I had just begun to settle in again at my lodgings at 221B Baker Street when I was called to Sussex by Holmes on some mysterious and urgent matter.
Would you like to see my bee farm, Watson?
Actually, Holmes, I'd much rather you told me why I was summoned.
First things first. Now follow me.
Very well.
These are my bees.
Lovely.
That's Freddy. And Clarence, and Lionel, and Cedric.
You've named your bees?
But of course, Watson. I love my little honey bees. Besides, how else will I know one from another when I write about them?
You write poppycock?
No, Watson, it's true. I'm going to pen the practical handbook of bee culture.
Sounds fascinating.
Oh, it is. Shall I read you what I've written thus far?
Well, now, Mr. Holmes, I'd like to hear you read about your bees.
Oh, goody.
Mrs. Hudson?
Yes?
Holmes, I didn't know Mrs. Hudson was still alive.
Well, of course she is, Watson. She lives on the farm with me.
And who is this scurrile type, Mr. Holmes?
Dr. Watson.
Doctor who?
Holmes, she doesn't know me.
Well, you have been away a long time, Watson. Besides, her mind has gone. She thinks she's a famous golfer, poor soul. That's why I took her in.
Would anyone like some bread and honey?
Well, she seems coherent.
Well, yes. To you, maybe. But you've been in a straitjacket for 20 years.
Whatever cerebral damage I accumulated from years of being subjected to your inane babbling and spastic actions, I was cured of and released. Of my own free will, I might add.
But you weren't. You weren't, Watson. Don't you see? I arranged for your release last month. My good friend Siggy, Dr. Freud to you, said that you were a hopeless, helpless case. Incurable is what he said.
You had me released?
Yes, Watson. You see, I need your assistance.
You mean...
Yes.
What?
Would anyone like some milk toast and honey?
I'm coming out of retirement to solve a new case.
And you need me to...
Yes.
What?
Would anyone like some golf balls and honey?
Come to America with me to help me solve this case.
America? That's it, Holmes. You've shrouded this whole affair in darkness long enough. What is this all about?
My dear old friend in Boswell, I can't tell you. I wish I could. To tell a living soul may mean the difference between life and death.
I know all about it.
You told Mrs. Hudson?
Well, yes. But after all, Watson, she's going to America with us. Besides, she's senile.
And I'm insane.
Well, yes. But I still cannot tell you about the case just yet.
Would anyone like an onion bun and honey?
Oh, an onion bun. That sounds yummy. Yes, Mrs. Hudson, I'll have one.
I'll just go and get the onion buns and the honey, while you, Mr. Holmes, may read about your bees to whomever this is.
Oh, goody.
Strange how she doesn't remember who I am.
Now then, The Practical Handbook of Bee Culture by Sherlock Holmes. I like bees. Bees are nice. Bees make honey. Bees have yellow and black stripes. I once used crusts of beeswax round my lips to help me appear to be dying. But I really wasn't dying. I was only pretending to be dying to bring the evildoer to justice. I like bees. Bees are nice. Well, that's what I've written. Do you think it's nearly enough for a book?
We may need some padding.
Well, now, here's your onion bun and honey.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Hudson. That's my killer bee, Murray.
Murray?
He's sickly.
How can you tell?
Because he looks like Murray.
I mean, how can you tell he's sickly?
Oh, he has a bent stinger. In fact, that's why I'm writing this book, so I can raise enough funds to get him a stinger transplant. Come here, Murray. There, that's a nice bee. Oh, you want some of my onion bun? Here you... Wait a minute. That's not Murray.
Run, Holmes, quickly.
Why, that bee is crazy.
Oh, oh.
Perhaps he didn't like the onion bun.
Want to do something to help me?
Oh, yes, old fellow.
But what? Steer the bees towards the hive. Well, towards the hive.
Well, Holmes, you're running towards the... hive.
I caught him. We're safe now.
You've knocked over the hive, Holmes. All the bees are running amok.
You mean flying amok?
Whatever.
Anyone hurt him?
Well, at least no one was stung.
Speak for yourself.
Well, at least you weren't stung by a bee dressed like Murray.
How exactly do you know that it wasn't Murray?
That bee was an imposter. I could see it in his eyes. Murray has kind eyes, like a lapdog. The imposter bee was sent here to kill me.
Are you sure you were fully cured by Dr. Freud?
We must leave for America at once.
I'll bring the honey pot.
Good thinking, Mrs. Hudson. Come on, Watson, my humble friend and companion.
I wish you'd tell me what this is all about.
Quick, Watson, the game is afoot.
What is that supposed to mean?
Your shoe is undone.
Oh, yes, so it is. And so Holmes, Mrs. Hudson, Holmes, sickly bee Murray, and I were off to America via steamer. And soon, not very soon, but soon we found ourselves surrounded by the culture and refinement of New York City. We'll have this. It's lovely.
Watson, I'll hail a taxi. Taxi! What a road!
Yes, criminal!
You see, I told you someone was trying to kill me. He's driving on the wrong side of the road.
Holmes, in this country, they drive on the right.
Right?
Right.
But that's wrong. Hello. We'd like to rent a room.
No, that's $5 a night.
Watson, do we have any box?
My dear fellow, he means dollars.
A box? How quaintly American.
Are there any good golf courses around here?
Say, are you two married?
No, this is my humble friend and biographer, John H. Watson, M.D.
No, I mean the lady, you and the lady.
Oh, no, Mrs. Hudson, no, she's my housekeeper.
A housekeeper costs $5 extra.
We don't want to rent a housekeeper. Mrs. Hudson is our housekeeper.
Well, it doesn't matter if we supply one, you bring one of your own. You want to keep a keeper, of course, extra.
Now, look here, my good man.
Oh, just pay the man the extra $5, Watson.
Buffaloes? Holmes, that's bucks.
Oh, yes, bucks. I must remember that.
Busy bee, busy bee, make me a lot of honey. Here now. Come on out. Don't be shy.
What are you doing, Holmes?
I'm unpacking.
Oh, that's it. What a good little fellow you are.
Had that bee packed in your suitcase?
Yes.
But Holmes, how did he ever survive the transatlantic voyage?
Elementary, my dear Watson. I also packed his hive. Now, this, Watson, is the real Murray.
Yes, I can tell by his eyes. Just like a lapdog's.
Mm.
But why you brought him with you from London, I'll never know.
I have my reasons.
In fact, you still haven't revealed why we're here.
You know, you're right. I should let you in on it now.
At last.
Watson, there is at this very moment a diabolical plot at work here in America. One which may spread evil and terror across the globe, maybe further. One which may give way to a reign of no goodness, the likes of which the world has never known. One which even I, with all my super sleuthing powers, may be unable to quash. One which...
Now to make a long story perpetual.
Hmm?
Get to the point!
Oh, yes. Well, it seems...
The bees were at it, Al. Horse, eating bread and honey. Mr. Holmes! What are you doing here?
I'm staying here, remember?
But I just saw you down in the hotel lobby not more than 3 1/4 minutes ago.
Poor woman, her mind has gone.
What? Are you quite sure it was me?
I'd know that ugly green pallor anywhere.
Relax, Mrs. Hudson. It was me you saw downstairs.
But, Holmes, it couldn't have been. You've been here in this room with me for over an hour.
No, Watson, I insist that it was me Mrs. Hudson saw.
Are you sure you're feeling all right, my dear fellow?
I'm fine, Watson, but I must go. Come on, Mrs. Hudson.
I'll bring the honey pot and the golf ball.
Good thinking.
But, Holmes, wait.
No time now, Watson. You stay here and watch Murray. I'm off to chase myself.
Poor deluded fellow. I can only hope that he doesn't start seeing giant rats again.
There's the porky fellow now, wearing a deerstalker and a cloak, just like mine.
Perhaps we should follow him.
That's a good idea.
He's leaving the hotel.
Come on, then.
I truly feel guilty about not telling Watson the truth.
Mr. Holmes, you had yourself no alternative. You know, Dr. Watson would have written a book about it.
Yes, sometimes he finishes a book before I've had a chance to solve the case. It becomes very difficult to work incognito with my face plastered on the cover of a bestseller. By the by, you play a wonderful crazy woman.
All in the line of duty.
The Sherlock Holmes imposter has just popped into a record shop.
Can you see in the window?
Yes. He seems to know precisely what he's looking for. He's gone over to the counter. He's picking out a record. He's buying it.
He's coming out.
Your attention to detail never ceases to amaze me, Mrs. Hudson. Have you ever considered taking up detective work yourself?
Ah, there's no money in it.
Now he's crossing the street and entering the stage door of a theater.
Shall we be following himself inside?
No. You stay out here and make sure he doesn't leave. I'm going back to get Watson. I'll need his help to bring this impudent imposter to justice.
You dragged me out to this theater, and you still haven't given me a clue as to what this is all about.
Due time, Watson. Did you bring the beeswax?
Yes, Holmes. Murray was delighted to part with it.
He's good that way. Well, give it here. Now, to change my appearance, bit of beeswax here and some there. Lengthen my nose. A scar or two. And make one ear larger. And there. Well, how do I look?
It's an overall improvement.
Now, go around to the stage door and stay there with Mrs. Hudson. If I'm not out in 5 minutes, call Inspector Lestrade.
But Holmes, Lestrade is back in London.
Well, call him up anyway. He'll be glad to hear from you. Now then, I'm off.
You certainly are.
What's that? A song? About me? Perhaps this imposter is a spy and that song contains some coded message.
Hey, Satan.
Yes, sir.
Is there no guy here yet?
No, sir.
I haven't seen him work. In fact, I haven't seen him at all. I hope he's good.
Here's my chance to use my disguise. I'm here.
You're the new Moriarty?
Yes, I am. You must be Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, yeah, Maury, baby. Now, listen. We open in 2 weeks, so get your part down and get it down fast. Now, come on stage and I'll block you in. Well, come on. Let's move it. Let's go. Move it. Move it on the double. Hit those lights. Now, Maury, baby, you stand on that X. Got that? The girl will be tied up on the floor. I bust through the door and I say, get this. Drop that gun, Moriarty!
Must all those lights be on? It's getting extremely warm in here.
Never mind the lights. You just stand on that X. Now let's run through it again. The girl is on the floor. I'll go out that door and I'll come in. Hey, you know, Maury, baby, you got wax dripping off your face.
Drop that gun, Moriarty!
No, I say that line. You just stand on the X.
You can't fool me any longer, Moriarty. I know you're posing as me as part of your dastardly doings.
Of all the actors in New York, I get a troublemaker. Look, I don't mind if you ad-lib a little bit here and there, but don't go rewrite my play, Maury, baby.
Under all this wax, I am the real Sherlock Holmes. See?
Shirley, baby, why didn't you say so? How are you? Glad to see you. Ooh, let me pinch those little cheeks.
Do you know me?
Shirley, baby, after all we've been through together, the nights we spent together in Philly, New Haven, the tryout in Boston. Even the oysters had better openings.
You're not Moriarty, are you?
Come on, you know who I am.
Yes, of course. Who are you?
I'm that famous actor and director, the man who brought your story to the stage, that gay young blade, that curtain raiser, William Gillette.
William Gillette! I'd never heard of him.
Boy, you really are in a London fog.
I always wear this coat.
Now, look, I'll say it again. I'll talk slower this time.
Holmes, look out for that handbag! Oh. Holmes, are you all right? Watson, someone really is trying to kill me.
Good heavens, that was a close shave. Gillette!
Doc, baby, how are you? Glad to see you. Ooh, let me pinch those little cheeks.
You two know each other?
Hey, Doc, I got a pain right here. He loves it when I kid him.
Gillette, I thought you went down with the Titanic.
All right, Mr. Gillette, you're under arrest.
Hey, what's with him, Doc?
I traveled from UK to US to bring you in.
You mean this was the case you had to solve?
Yes, Watson. So start writing your next book, The Adventure of the Sherlock Holmes Impersonator.
What in heaven's name led you to this misadventure?
Why, an article I read in the London Times. Here, I've saved it.
Sherlock Holmes is portrayed. Mr. Gillette has not written Sherlock Holmes by merely stringing together a number of incidents from the adventurous career of this world-famous detective. He actually becomes Sherlock Holmes each and every night.
They love me.
Holmes, William Gillette is not an imposter.
He must be, because I'm me, so he can't be me.
Mr. Gillette is an actor. He portrays you on the stage.
He does? Watson, you never told me this before. Well, I won't allow him to play me anymore.
But Doc here and I have a deal.
You made a deal with him, Watson.
I've got a 99-year contract and movie rights pending.
Watson!
Now, look here, Gillette. I seem to remember something about some overdue royalty payments. You said shortly before 1913, I believe, that the check was in the mail.
Don't worry about a thing, Doc Baby. Those royalties are peanuts. Do you know what the biggest thing on Broadway is today?
I absolutely refuse to perform in the nude.
I'm not talking about that arty French stuff. The biggest thing on Broadway today is the musical. That's where the big bucks are. So what do we do?
Would you tell us what we'll do?
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll open up my play as a musical. We'll call it Springtime for Sherlock.
Springtime for Sherlock?
Ooh, I like that. It'll be great. It'll be stupendous. Now, you've had a chance to think it over. What do you think? I knew you'd say that. I knew it. We can't miss. Of course, it'll take some front money, $30,000 or $40,000, to buy the costumes, decorate the sets, line up the bros for the kick line.
Front money?
$30,000 or $40,000?
That's big bucks, Cheryl, baby. Come on. We're talking millions here. Why quibble about pennies? You gotta figure the drug sales backstage alone will bring in $100,000 a week. Maybe more if I can buy a couple of guys I know about.
Drug sales?
Do I understand you to say that you'd sell illicit drugs during my play? Opium? Cocaine?
Never, Mr. Gillette. Never, never, never.
Look, Doc, you're an old man now. I don't want to play rough. You got no choice.
And what if Holmes doesn't accede to your criminal scheme?
Now, wait a minute, Watson. I'll handle this. Mr. Gillette, if I do agree to this deal, would I receive complimentary chemical stimulus?
All you want.
$30,000 or $40,000, did you say? How do you want the check made out?
Cash, baby. Cash. Springtime. Springtime for Sherlock. Springtime for Sherlock.
And so Holmes and I became creative consultants to Mr. Gillette's musical.
Watson, this is fun.
I do wish you weren't back on that drug kick again.
Nonsense, Notson.
Are you sure you're all right, dear fellow?
Of course, Watson. Why, look at me. Up there on the stage. Why, I never looked better.
Holmes, that's not you. What? Oh, never mind.
Quick, Watson. I think I'm dying. I'm seeing all my life pass before my eyes.
Get a hold of yourself, man. That's just a play.
No, I tell you, it's me up there. And there's Professor Moriarty. All right, Professor. Your foolish game is over. I'm coming up there to get you.
No, Holmes, wait.
All right, Moriarty. Your number's up. The time has come. Get off that stage and come up here. I'm going to arrest you.
Holmes, wait.
Oh, dear.
Everybody do the Sherlock drag! Sherlock Holmes, 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 you too can do the drag.
By Jove, Holmes, what is this all about? Well, I'll tell you, Watson, it's like this, you see. Springtime. Springtime for Sherlock, springtime for Sherlock Holmes. I'm the greatest detective of all. If you cross me, you're in for a fall. Springtime for Dr. Watson and Sherlock Holmes.
Baker Street blues. You're sitting there in your Baker Street flat. You're putting on your distorted hat. Sitting there. 1921. Chewing on an onion bun. Chili are scare our tights. Sucking on the calabash pipe. Got the bacon. Got the Baker Street blues. Yeah. Got the bacon. Got the Baker Street blues. Yeah, Sherlock. You can call it what you choose. But Dr. Watson got the Baker Street blues. Yeah. Yeah, you got those deductive powers. It's true. Ain't nobody gonna evade you. Ask Moriarty, he knows. Ah, got the Baker Street blues. Ah, Sherlock, you can't lose. You give everybody the Baker Street blues, yeah. Ah, take it home, take it home.
And so the play went on as scheduled. Almost. You see, Holmes, in his newly drug-induced state, confused the theatrical production of his life with reality. Moments prior to the end of the final scene of the play, Holmes bound and gagged William Gillette and locked him in his dressing room, once again thinking the actor was an imposter. Then, turning to phone Inspector Lestrade, he chanced to look out on the stage where he saw the actor portraying Moriarty. And the rest is theatrical history.
Hey! Watson! I'm about to be killed! Do something, quick! Ow! You can read my monograph on shins and every latest furniture professor.
Perhaps I will sometime.
Hey!
Nearly ruined my career, but I have the last laugh now, because I stand before you here, like a specter I do loom. And now, Mr. Sherlock Holmes, prepare to meet your doom.
Drop that sword, Moriarty, or I'll shoot.
Rats, unfoiled again.
Lestrade!
And so Mr. Sherlock Holmes took his second-to-last bow, on stage playing himself. Mr. Gillette's play was a huge success, and he went on to give a farewell performance playing the detective every year until 1939. Mrs. Hudson, though not truly crazed, continued to practice up on her golf, and Murray got his stinger transplant. Holmes eventually did find out who was trying to kill him, but that is something I shall detail in our next and final adventure.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of His Second to Last Bow, Episode 8 of The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes. As Sherlock Holmes, you heard Vernon Morris. Dr. Watson was Henry J. Quinn. Jan Meredith played Mrs. Hudson. And William Gillette, the hotel clerk and the jazz singers, were played by Joseph Bevilacqua. Technical production was by Spiker. His Second to Last Bow was written, produced, and directed by Joseph Bevilacqua.
The comedy, Rama.
Waterlog Productions.
Comedy-O-Rama is supported by Bear Manor Media, publisher of the authorized biography of cartoon voice legend Dawes Butler, characters actor.
Who else? Yogi Bear.
For more information, check out BearManorMedia.com.